Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now enjoy this message.
And we've been talking a lot about prayer, but today we're going to talk about how do we actually do this? How do we level up our prayer? Like, let's put this into practice. So we're going to get real practical today. Okay, cool. So we've been talking a little bit in the last several sermons about the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, teach us how to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And I think that we can figure if they said, hey, we hang out with you a lot and we see you do a lot of things, but can you show us practically how to pray? If they needed help learning how to do it, we need help learning how to do it too. And the first place we're going to start is with the Lord's Prayer. Someone asked me the other day, which one was that? Okay, that's a fair question. That's the one who goes, you can say it with me if you want. I know some people in the room aren't going to know it, so it's just good to practice. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That's how we say it at cuddle time, so I don't think I'll ever get out of saying it the way I said it with my two-year-olds, who are no longer two. I'm going to embarrass my kids a lot today, but that's kind of how we roll in our family. So you just we just say it kid style. So this prayer gives us a method for praying, not a rule, but a method for praying that I want to take you through today. It's called sandwiching. Can we say that? Sandwiching. So you wondered why I brought my takeout lunch today. We're going to sandwich our prayers. And the acronym we're going to talk about is PRAY, P-R-A-Y, okay? PRAY. First, we start with the P, or the bread. And it means praise. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Who's it all about? Jesus. He is our bread of life. Sandwiching. Jesus, I love you. You're good. You're awesome. You're my dad. The next thing we do is the fixings. I brought some onions, and I wish I'd had better sandwich lettuce, but I didn't, so I brought my spinach. Don't know what you guys are making for lunch tomorrow. But this is R for repent. Forgive us of our... Thank you. That's why we went through it together. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We got to clear the gunk between us and God. We got to repent. You got to build that sandwich before you can get to it. How many free fixins can you get at Subway? All the free fixins. Repent can go on a long time. You got to clear all that stuff out. Take all the free fixins you want. Okay? Then you get to the meat of it. Who wants the meats? This is A for ask. Ask, 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 ask away. What do you want? Give us this day our daily bread. Right? And then deliver us from evil is also one. Protect us. Protect me. Protect my family. Don't let them take our finances. Don't let them take our health. You get the idea? And then why? Yay! What are we grateful for? Yay! We always close with thanksgiving. We just sandwiched our prayers. I'm going to put this down here because we're going to look at this sandwich. I know we're getting close to lunchtime. This gratitude piece is really important. In Philippians, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So we always sandwich these prayers with gratitude and thanksgiving. So when we talk about, so first lesson, pray, P-R-A-Y, sandwich your prayers. Good little rubric for how you can pray. Second one, gratitude. Gratitude is always a great place to start with prayers. So how can you start with gratitude? Worship is a wonderful way to express gratitude. We just did that. We're worshiping and we're saying, God, you are so great. Do you know that you cannot be grateful and fearful and anxious at the same time? It's a neurological fact. You cannot be grateful and afraid at the same time. If you struggle with anxiety, you struggle with fear, you have anti-anxiety meds, you cannot be grateful and afraid at the same time. Your brain cannot do it. Cognitive dissonance, input error. Which is why they say that worship is a form of warfare. Because when you are worshiping, fear has to flee. And the number one command in Scripture is, do not fear. Hands up, Satan gone. That's simple. So there's a practical one for you. Another one, keep a gratitude journal. You just keep a blank journal, and then when you're going to bed or when you're awake, whenever it's convenient for you, three things a day that I'm grateful for. Can I just be honest and say when I started this practice, it was hard to do three. It's sometimes you're in that place in life, so then you can start with one. I'm glad I went to church and heard about doing a gratitude journal. I'm glad I started a gratitude journal. I got to two. You'll be surprised as you start cultivating the practice, it gets easier to start seeing things to be grateful for instead of seeing things to be miserable about and upset about and anxious about, because it's a perspective shift. And then number three, you can have family Thanksgiving every day. I'm not saying you got to go cook a Thanksgiving. Everybody in the room is like, oh no, not more cooking. Because that's me. I'm a Costco meals girl. I'm like, oh, it's a lasagna. Microwave for 18 minutes on high. See ya. That's me. Maybe even on Thanksgiving. But you can get your family around the table or right before bed. And you can say, hey, let's go around and let's just pray one thing we're thankful for. Hey, I'm grateful. It's kind of like the touch in what went well today. So same thing as like a gratitude journal, but as a family. Because wouldn't it be great if our families prayed together? And let's say you're living with a roommate. Can't you do that on the phone? Call home and say, hey, I want to touch base every day. And can we just pray as a family? Because what I would love to see is what I've been praying for you, for us. I would love us to be a church that prays together 15 minutes a day. Who else in the room would like that? Do we want to, really? Just 17 of us? Oh, 18. Okay, who wants to be a church that prays together every day? Okay, we can do this just real simple in a family group situation. And just saying, what are we grateful for? I just started this week. I had this idea. How could I be praying more? Because we're multiplying extraordinary prayer. So our family started this, and it has been so amazing to hear our kids come up with their own things that they're grateful for. You know that I know more about their lives now? Because, hey, what happened today?
Nothing.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Is everything good?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to pray about what we're grateful for.
Floods.
It's been awesome. So I offer that to you. I also want to just offer this to God. It says in Psalm 35, I will give you praise in the great assembly whenever God does something really big for us. So I've doubled down in prayer since we started this series because I've been listening like you guys, and I'm like, I probably need to get past the Lord's been good to me. And so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed, the Lord's. I probably need to move past that. I probably need to take this a little bit more seriously. So I started like doubling down on things that I'm really serious about. And this week, we got a financial answer prayer that I've been praying for 15 years, but like popcorn prayers. But this week, I think as I've been praying more seriously, it just meant a lot more to me. God came through in a major way. It's 15-year prayer answered. And yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And we had a major lawsuit against us that threatened our kids' future, that threatened my reputation and integrity and all that. And this week it got resolved. All this week. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. And so because it says in Psalm 35, we will give praise in the great assembly, I want to share this with all you, and I want that testimony to go out that you can grab that in faith and hit your knees in prayer too and say, you did it for her, do it for me. And may it be done in Jesus' name. All right. We've been learning about HBO prayer. How many of you have that subscription? You've got the hear, believe, obey prayer. Eben has it. Hear, believe, obey prayer. So let's talk about that. In order to HBO prayer, hear, believe, obey, we first have to here. And I think some of us are a little bit unclear about how to do that. I know that I sat in churches for a long time without ever hearing what I'm going to tell you today. And so I wanted to go over this with you. At first, we sometimes think of prayer as writing a letter to Santa Claus. Dear God, I need... Amen. And then he may or may not deliver. And usually we don't send the thank you note. Just saying. That's not prayer. Prayer is not just so we can send in our requests. It's kind of like we don't have phones. We don't have friends just so we can make phone calls. Like, I'm going to collect all my friends out there because I need someone to call, because that's what my phone's for. Our phone is just a means to reach a friend. Our prayers are just a means to reach God. So we got to get this relationship right. We're not praying just to pray. This is just a means of relationship. So why does God want us to hear? God speaks to us because he wants relationship with us. So let's remember, the Bible is a story. We go and we dig into these verses, but it's a story. And the story is oneness created between us and God and each other. Then oneness was destroyed when we sinned. Sin is anything that doesn't line up with God's best for us. Okay? Oneness is destroyed, and then oneness gets restored through Jesus Christ. So when oneness got destroyed because we didn't line up with God's best, then we're not holy anymore. And God can't be with us because he's holy and perfect. And this breaks his heart. So he wants to be with us. He wants to be in relationship with us. He used to walk with us every day and talk to us, like I'm talking to you. But he can't do that anymore in oneness destroyed because of sin. So he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, and his perfect blood washes away all that stuff that's wrong with me so I can be in relationship with him again. That's why he talks to us. People will say, well, there's lots of ways to God. Well, if that was true, then it was very cruel to require the death of Jesus because he didn't do anything wrong. And so we don't believe in just punishing and crucifying and executing sinless people for the sake of mankind, because there's lots of ways to God. If there were, well, we'll just take a different path, people. There's not. There's only one way to get back into relationship with a holy and perfect God, and that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is why God wants to talk to us. However, when I say God speaks, he does not usually use an audible voice. And so if you're listening for an audible voice that sounds like Liam Neeson or Val Kilmer or Charlton Heston or not Kelly Chewbacca, then you're probably not going to hear it. Instead, it sounds like a thought within a thought, or like a whisper, or maybe like a gut feeling, okay? It can come like a picture or a fleeting Bible verse will come back, or like a prompting, and you're like, huh, was that a tick? Was that a gnat? Was that Tinkerbell? I don't know. I'm going to go on with my day. It can be like that, where you might miss it. You might think, that was just me. And maybe I'm really brilliant, or maybe I had bad pizza. That can be what hearing God feels like. Just leveling with you, if you don't know what you're looking for, you might totally miss it. Another thing is he doesn't speak formulaically. So it's not like this is how God speaks, and you will always hear it the same way because it looks like this. It will come like the Lord's Prayer. No, but he does have a voice. So once you know him and you sense him and you're used to talking with him, you can pick up when it's him. So people who know him and are used to him, they can help you figure out, was that God or was that me? Because it's kind of like getting a text or an email from a good friend. Even if you just saw it without their email address on it or their signature, you'd be like, oh, I can tell you that was totally from her because she always writes like that, or that's her slang. Or if somebody was like, your friend wrote this and she's trying to get you in trouble, you'd be like, that's not her. That's not my friend. Somebody's trying to fake that that's my friend. I'm not buying into this gossip. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can tell your friend's voice on email. It's the same way. God has a voice, and his voice will always be consistent with Scripture. He will never contradict the Bible. So that's one of the ways that you can gauge it. His voice is always a language of love. So it'll say in scripture, God is love. So his voice will always be consistent with love. That's in 1 John chapter 4. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And his voice is gentle. He usually speaks with brevity, just like he tells us, keep your prayers short and don't babble. God also tends to keep his word short and doesn't babble. He doesn't usually talk to you in long paragraphs. Sometimes he'll hit you with a quick thought that when it takes the time to explain it to someone else, it takes you a paragraph, but it'll hit you like, boom. You'll be like, oh, that's a deep revelation. But he didn't sit there and like chow down on you for an hour. Make sense? It's a quick thought. Remember that they will always be consistent with and flow from scripture because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's not a God of confusion. He's a God of peace, which means that his words will be confirmed. So we're looking for, if someone's like, how do I know that this is God? Has anybody ever thought that? How do I know I'm hearing God? You're looking for a three-legged stool, okay? The first is you're looking for, is this consistent with scripture? The second is, do I sense the Holy Spirit in it? Do I feel it here? Did I hear that word? Is that thought within the thought? You get the idea? The third is it confirmed? Did I get confirmation? Which could be, I heard it from a friend. I heard it in a worship song. I keep seeing confirmation. Like, I had this prompt that I'm supposed to do this service project, and now I just keep seeing that. It's on the license plate in front of me, and it's in this organization, and I got a mailer on it, and I just keep seeing it. That kind of confirmation. So, I have a fifth grader, and he's at school, and there's an incident on the playground where a kid who's being a bit reckless ends up unintentionally but pretty seriously hurting him. And my fifth grader gets pretty mad because it hurts. And he prays, multiply extraordinary prayer, plug. And he goes, what should I do? And he has lots of thoughts about what he should do to teach this kid a lesson. And he gets that thought, you should hug him. Thought within a thought. It kind of feels like you, but you're like, that's weird. Sometimes it'll be like, I don't want to do that, right? That often will feel like that, where you're like, no, that's not God. Move on to the next thought. And so he decides, is that consistent with scripture? Yeah, God is love. Number two, does that feel like the Holy Spirit? Unfortunately. Number three, he goes to school and he gives unintentional bully the hug. Bully, awkward response. Another scuffle breaks out on the playground where my kid ends up being the unintentional offender, and the unintentional bully backs up and responds with a hug. Confirmation. You heard God, right? That's an example of how this works. Three-legged stool. If you want to hear God, you have to obey. So I'm jumping ahead just a touch for my slide, guys. I'm sorry. But in John 14:21, it says, the ones who love me will do what I say. The ones who love my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. This is a circle. What it says is, if you love me, you'll put it into practice. When you put it into practice, you'll see and learn more about me. You'll hear more. And then you get to decide, are you going to put it into practice? And if you do, you'll hear and learn and see me more. And that's how spiritual growth happens. So if you want to hear God more, you got to act on the last thing you heard. Does that make sense? So that hear, believe, obey really, really matters. A lot of people will not hear God because they're looking for the wrong thing. They're looking for that lightning bolt. You're not going to get a lightning bolt. It'll be like that whisper. You're looking for something condemning. You need to try harder. You are a bad person. God is a God of love. The people who are in Christ, it says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But I'll tell you, there is correction. I'll tell you there's correction. I'll give you one of my stories. A long, long time ago in a Kelly far, far away, a friend told me she was getting married, and she was getting stupid married. I know that's never happened to any of your friends. And I told her, this is stupid because of 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And she was going to do it anyway. And I said, but it's going to go bad because of A, B, C, D, and E, like really bad. It's so obvious how this is going to turn out. And she was going to do it anyway. And she did do it anyway. And I went upstairs and started brushing my teeth, which, by the way, is in front of a mirror. And I was thinking to myself only, nobody else was in my conversation, nor was anybody else invited to my conversation. Oh my gosh, I can't wait till I get that phone call and I have to tell her, I told you so. I told you not to marry him. I told you how this was gonna go. And then I got that thought. You think that's why I showed you how this was gonna go? I didn't know you were here. I thought I was in the bathroom alone. I've learned that God usually knows the answers to his own questions. I didn't say anything. I just thought, no. Why do you think you can see how badly this is going to go? So you can get the credit and say, I told you so? No. What do you think I want you to do?
Well, what do you think he wants me to do?
Multiply extraordinary prayer.
Pray about it.
Good. Because if you can't do good things with being able to see where things are going to go, I'll take that ability away from you.
I never thought that the reason I was so good at seeing how things could go was because that was a gift from God. Not just because it's obvious common sense and logical. So then I finished brushing my teeth and I started to pray every day. And years later, guess who shows up at my door? I'm getting a divorce. I mean, we could all see how that was going to go. And guess what I said? No, I did not say I told you so. I'm not allowed to say that. I said, no, you're not. I've been praying for you. And instead worked with her through all of that and reminded her, you knew all of this when you signed up for it. You knew all of this and you said yes. And now you're in a forever promise. And so now let's work through it. And guess who's still married today? Yes, yes. Which is so much better than getting credit for I told you so. Because who cares about that? What matters is that they're still married and they worked through it. That's what matters. He doesn't speak with condemnation. He will correct you, but he'll correct you with love. Because I didn't feel condemned. I just felt like I had a job to do. And that was the job. The other reason we won't listen, so if we're listening for things we're not going to hear, like condemnation, we're listening for things like, I want this answer on this time, you've got to tell me today. We don't get the response we want because he doesn't work for us. He's not our Santa Claus or magic genie God. We work for him. So if you want this response at this time, guess what, Buttercup? Just telling you, come talk to me. It's not going to work that way. If you want the lightning bolt, you won't hear it. If you're looking to be told you're not good enough and you're bad and all that, you might hear a voice. It won't be God's because God's a God of love. The other reason you won't hear is you're just not listening. So if we only pray in a crisis, we only pray at times of great need, if we don't take that time to pray, we won't listen. It says in Isaiah, one of my favorite verses, he awakens me morning by morning.
He awakens me to hear as a disciple. Anybody in here have sleep problems? Maybe you don't have sleep problems. I'm just going to suggest that maybe you have a Holy Spirit bed buddy. Get up. I want some time with you. And we keep rolling over. I just want to sleep. You're not going to get any more rest sleeping than if you get up and hit your knees. I'll tell you, I sleep better. I've learned this. Wake up, check in, and then you go right back to sleep. It's amazing. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me to listen as a disciple. Why is he waking you up? I don't know. But you'll hear better if you get up than if you just ignore him. That's why we hear. So sometimes when I talk about this, I'll get this question. I think I heard, how do I know that this is actually God? And what do? I don't want to make a mistake. So what if I listen and I hear and I make a mistake? So I just made this decision, and I'll just put this out here. You're going to make a mistake. Can we just normalize that? Okay. God wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to have this conversation flowing with you. It's like little kids learning how to walk. They're going to fall on their diapers sometimes. We think it's cute. So does he. Does he have grace to cover our mistakes? Yes. You're going to err in one of two ways. So you got to decide which way you want to err, okay? I have a thought within a thought. I think I did something. I'm either going to mess up and totally embarrass myself because I was wrong. I have done that. Or I'm going to not say anything. Phew, I didn't make a mistake. But it was God, and now I've disobeyed. Ooh. Do I want to, in good faith, obey and embarrass myself, which just cost me pride, and trust that Jesus can cover that? Or do I want to save my pride and disobey God? I have to make that choice every time I get that thought within a thought. I made my decision. When I first heard this message that I'm giving you, like many, many, many Kellys ago, I decided that Sunday, I'm doing this because I just don't care about my pride that much. Now, I've had a lot of awkward moments. You've heard me tell you before. Life is a series of awkward moments separated by snacks. That's why we pray. I'm really okay with a lot of snack time. Are you? Yeah. I'm really okay embarrassing myself for Jesus. And I just trust that he'll cover me. He goes out before me and he covers me from behind. I'm just good. I'd much rather do that than do this. I'll give you an example. I heard this message. I thought, I'm going to do it. Like some of you were thinking today. And it wasn't a minute later. I had a dream about this person I was in a new relationship with. I had just started dropping my baby off at a new daycare. I did not know this person at all, the daycare worker. I didn't know if she was a Christian. I didn't know if she liked us. We were still in that probation period where she could kick us out, and I had no other options. You know, high risk. And all night, I kept getting this word, her face and this word, don't sell yourself short. You're making a bigger difference than you know. And it was like, it just kept playing on loop, like a cassette tape that had jumped. Don't sell yourself short. You're making a bigger difference than you know. And I woke up at 3 a.m. and I was like, it might be a gnat. It might be a fly. It might be a word from the Lord. And I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, just like we've all talked about. And I'm like, I'm going to share it with her in all of my foggy-brained exuberance. And then the next morning, I looked at that note, and I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's weird. Hi. God talked to me, and this is what he said. So all morning, I've got the sweats and the nerves and I'm going to lose my slot in the daycare. Do I do this or do I do this? What do I do? What do I do? Well, I'd already made my decision. I don't know what to do. This would be so stupid. I took a very, very painful drive over to the daycare. I have my super happy baby bouncing on my hip, so happy. And I'm just like doing the death walk to the electrocution chair. Bum, 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 bum. And I open up the door, and she opens, and she says, "Hi, good morning." And I'm the first parent there, and I said, "I had a dream about you last night." Again, be awkward for Jesus. And she looks at me like, "That's creepy." And I said, "I just felt like God maybe shared something with me for you." Again, I have no idea who this person is or what she thinks about God at all. Okay? And I told her what he said. Don't sell yourself short. You're having greater impact than you think. And she starts busting out crying. And I'm like, now it's super awkward. I don't know why she's crying. And I'm like, "Here's my baby. I'm late for work." Like, I don't know. Like, what do you do? What do you do? And then this is what did it for me. She goes, "Just last night before I was going to bed, I was on my knees sobbing and crying out to Jesus, 'What have I done with my life? Does it make any impact at all? I've wasted everything.'" And she's like, "You could have never known that." I'm like, "Yeah, I didn't know that." So I hugged her and I prayed with her and I gave her my baby. And dude, I was all, on the way to the car, I heard from God. I heard from God. And I was just changed, right? Because when that happens, you gave a life-giving word to someone, you're hooked. You're in. Be awkward for Jesus. Go grab a snack. Hear, believe, obey. I'll tell you, this isn't easy. It isn't easy. But when you start this process, what happens is you start getting into it for Jesus. And everybody goes through something where it's a little uncomfortable approaching it, but it reminds me of that story by Max Lucado, where there are this Wemmicks. They're all small wooden people, and they live in a village, and every Wemmick's a little bit different. Some have big noses, some have big eyes, some are talented, some are not. But they're all carved by Eli, this woodmaker who lives on the hill. And they all live in the village. And every day, all day, the Wemmicks do the same thing. They all give each other stickers. They have a box of star stickers and dot stickers. They run around and they give each other stickers. And the ones who have smooth paint and that they look good, their colors are really pretty, they get star stickers. But if their paint is chipped or ugly and their wood is rough, they get the gray dot stickers. If they can balance balls on their head or jump over boxes or do a dance on a tightrope, star stickers. But if you're clumsy, you trip over your shoes, or you say silly things, dot stickers. And Punchinello was one who only got dots. He never had a star sticker his whole life. He only had dots. He would try to do a cool trick, but he would fall and he would chip his wood and they'd give him a dot. And then he'd try and explain why he fell, and then they'd give him another dot. And he was so covered in dots, the Wemmicks would just give him dots because he had dots, all dots. And he didn't like going out in public. So when he did, he hung out with other Wemmicks who only had dots. And that would make him feel better, but not much. And they'd say, "He's not a very good Wemmick." And they'd put more dots on him. And then he started to believe it. "I am not a good wooden person," he thought to himself. And he started to stay inside more. But then one day, he came across a Wemmick named Lucia, and she didn't have any stickers. And the Wemmicks would try to give her stickers. They would run up, and they'd be like, "Oh, she's so pretty." And they try to put a star on her, but it would just fall off. And then they'd get upset because the stars wouldn't stick, so then they'd try and stick a dot on her. But the dots didn't stick either. The dots would just fall off. So Punchinello asked Lucia, "How do you do it? Why don't the stickers stick?" And she said, "Oh, it's easy. Every day I go and I talk to Eli." "The wood carver?" "Yeah, I go sit with him in his workshop." "Why?" Punchinello asked. "You should go try for yourself. Go see." And she skipped off. "But does he want to see me?" Punchinello asked. Lucia didn't respond. Punchinello was too scared. He'd never seen Eli. So he just shuffled back home. He sat by his window, and he looked at all the Wemmicks scurrying about, sticking on stars and dots. and he muttered to himself, "It's not right." And he decided to go see Eli. So he hiked up the hill, up the narrow path, and he opened up the door and went inside, and everything was so big. The stool was taller than he was. There was a hammer bigger than his arm. And even when he stood up on his tippy toes, he couldn't see the top of the workbench. "I'm getting out of here." And he turned and started to hustle to the door. "Punchinello?" He stopped and turned around, and he saw the bearded woodcarver. "Punchinello, I'm so happy to see you," the woodcarver said with this deep, scary voice. "You know my name?" "Of course I do. I made you." Punchinello turned, and Eli stooped down, picked him up, and put him on the bench, and thoughtfully looked him over. "Looks like you've been given some bad marks." "Oh, Eli, I didn't mean to. I really tried so hard," Punchinello said. "Oh, you don't have to defend yourself to me, Punchinello. I don't care what the Wemmicks think. That doesn't matter to me." "It doesn't?" "No, they're just Wemmicks like you. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think." "Really? I think you are very special." "Me? Not me," Punchinello said. "I can't balance balls on my head. I can't jump over the big boxes. I can't dance on the tightrope. Why am I special?" The woodcarver leaned over and held Punchinello gently by the shoulders and looked at him and said, "Because you're mine. You matter to me." Punchinello had never had anyone talk to him that way before, let alone his maker. And then Eli said, "I've been waiting for you to come see me." And Punchinello said, "Well, I met a Wemmick who had no stickers. The stickers don't stick to her. Why is that?" And Eli said, "Well, she has learned that all that matters is what I think and my love for her." And he said, "Do you want to know a secret?" And Punchinello listened. And Eli said, "The stickers only stick if you let them." "What?" "The stickers only stick if you let them. They only stick if they matter to you. What she's realized is all that matters is my love for her. And that's why the stickers don't stick." "Oh, I don't understand," said Punchinello. Eli laughed. "I know, but you will." And he gently put him back on the ground. And Punchinello started to head for the door. And he said, "Just come see me every day, and I will remind you of how much I love you. And remember, Punchinello, you are special because you are mine, and you matter to me very much." Punchinello didn't turn around, but in his mind, he thought, "I think he might mean it." And when he did, a gray dot fell to the ground. We're going to take a moment, and we're going to start practicing hearing from God ourselves. Because in this story, Eli represents Jesus. And Punchinello, well, he just represents all of us, doesn't he? And so we're going to take this time to practice, because I can't be Eli for you. But we want to have an opportunity for you to hear. But before we do, I don't want to close today without giving a chance for the people who are in this room who I've been praying for, who've never started that relationship with Jesus, where you're like, you know, I want to have that kind of relationship. I want to hear God. I want to start that friendship. I want to trust. I want these stickers to come off. The stars and the dots. So if that's you, we want to start that process too. So I'm going to have everyone bow your heads. We're going to start our prayer time. Everyone close your eyes. If you haven't started that personal relationship with Jesus, I want you to pray with me.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.